Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I came upon a certain place where there was a den, and I laid down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. In my dream, I saw a man dressed in rags, standing with his face turned away from his own house. He held a book in his hand, and carried a great burden upon his back. I saw the man open the book and read, and as he read, he wept and trembled and cried out mournfully, "What shall I do?" In this distraught condition the man went home, determined not to say anything to his family, for he did not want them to see his distress. But he could not be silent long because he was so greatly troubled. Finally he told his wife and children what was on his mind. "Oh, my dear wife and children," he said, "I am greatly troubled by a burden that lies heavy upon me. Moreover, I have been informed that our city will be burned with fire from heaven, and in this fearful destruction both myself and you, my wife, and my sweet children shall perish, unless we can find some way of escape or deliverance, which presently I cannot see." His family was amazed at his words, not because they believed what he said, but because they thought he was mentally deranged, since it was almost night and they hoped that sleep might settle his mind. They got him to bed as quickly as they could. But the night was as troublesome to him as the day. Instead of sleeping, he lay awake sighing and crying, so that when morning came and when they asked him how he felt, he told them, "Worse and worse." He began talking to them in the same vein again, thinking they could drive away his madness with harsh behavior. They began to make fun of him, to scold him, and sometimes even to ignore him. But because of this, he began to retire to his room to pray for and pity them, as well as grieve over his own misery. He would also walk alone in the fields, sometimes reading and sometimes praying. For several days he spent his time this way. Now in my dream I saw that one day when he was walking in the fields, he was reading his book, and was greatly distressed, and as he read, he cried out as he had done before, "What shall I do to be saved?" Christian no sooner leaves the world but meets Evangelist, who lovingly him greets with tidings of another, and doth show him how to mount to that from this below. He looked this way and that, as if he wanted to run but did not know which way to go. Then I saw a man named Evangelist coming toward him. "Why are you crying?" Evangelist asked. The man answered, "Sir, this book tells me I am condemned to die, and after that to come to judgment, and I find that I am not willing to do the first, nor able to do the second." Then said Evangelist, "Why are you not willing to die, since this life is filled with so many evils?" The man answered, "Because I fear that this burden that is upon my back will sink me lower than the grave, and I shall fall into hell. And, sir, I am not fit to go to judgment, and from there to execution, and the thought of these things make me cry." Then said Evangelist, "If this is your condition, why are you standing here?" The man answered, "Because I don't know where to go." Then Evangelist gave him a parchment roll, upon which was written, "Flee from the wrath to come." The man read it, and looking at Evangelist very carefully, said, "Where shall I go?" Evangelist pointed across a very wide field. "Do you see that wicket gate over there?" The man said, "No." Then said Evangelist, "Do you see that shining light over there?" The man said, "I think I do." Then said Evangelist, "Keep your eyes on that light, and go directly to it. Then you will see the gate. Knock on it, and you will be told what you should do." So I saw in my dream that the man began to run. Now he had not run far from his own door when his wife and children saw him, and began to cry for him to return. But the man put his fingers in his ears and ran on, crying, "Life! Life! Eternal life!" so he did not look behind him, but fled toward the middle of the plain. The neighbors also came out to watch him run. Some mocked him, others threatened, and some called for him to return. Among those who called to him were two men who resolved to fetch him back by force. The name of the one was Obstinate. The name of the other was Pliable. Now by this time the man had gotten a good distance from them, but they were resolved to pursue him, which they did. And in a little while they overtook him. Then said the man, "Neighbors, why have you come?" They said, "To persuade you to go back with us." But he said, "You cannot do that. You dwell in the city of destruction, the place where I was born. And if you die there, sooner or later, you will sink lower than the grave into a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Be content, good neighbors, and go along with me." "What?" said Obstinate, "and leave our friends and our comforts behind us?" "Yes," said Christian, for that was the man's name, "because all that you shall forsake is not worthy to be compared with a little of that which I am seeking. And if you will go with me, you shall fare as I do. For where I go, there is enough and more to spare. Come with me and see that I speak the truth." "What are you seeking, since you leave all the world to find it?" said Obstinate. "I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and it is kept in heaven to be bestowed at the time appointed on those who diligently seek it. Read about it in my book," said Christian.
"Nonsense," said Obstinate. "I don't care about your book. Will you go back with us or not?"
"No, I will not, because I have put my hand to the plow."
"Come then, neighbor Pliable, let us turn back and go home without him," said Obstinate. "Crazy fools like this are so conceited that they think they are wiser than seven men who can give good reasons why they are wrong."
"Don't be unkind," said Pliable, "if what the good Christian says about the things he seeks is true. I am inclined to go with him."
"What? Another fool?" said Obstinate. "Take my advice and go back. Who knows where such a mad fellow will lead you? Be wise and go back home."
"No, come with me, Pliable. The things I've told you about are waiting, as well as many more wonderful things. If you don't believe me, read here in this book, and the truth of what is said here is confirmed by the blood of him who wrote it."
"Well, neighbor Obstinate, I believe I will go along with this good man, and cast in my lot with him," said Pliable. "But, my good companion, do you know the way to this desired place?"
"I have been told by a man whose name is Evangelist to go to a little gate that is before us, where we shall receive instructions about the way."
"Come then, good neighbor, let us be going." Then the two went on together. "And I will go back home," said Obstinate. "I will not be a companion to such misled, foolish fellows."
Now I saw in my dream that when Obstinate had left, Christian and Pliable went across the plain together talking. "Neighbor Pliable, I am glad you have decided to go along with me. Had Obstinate felt what I have felt of the powers and terrors of what is yet unseen, he would not have turned his back on us so lightly.
Come, neighbor Christian, since there are only the two of us here now, tell me now about where we are going and the things we will enjoy there."
"I can better imagine them with my mind than speak of them with my tongue. But since you want to know, I will read to you from my book."
"And do you think the words of your book are really true?"
"Yes, certainly, for it was written by him who cannot lie."
"Well said. So tell me more about this place."
"There is an endless kingdom to be inhabited, and we will be given everlasting life so we may inhabit that kingdom forever."
"Well said."
"And what else?" "We will be given crowns of glory and garments that will make us shine like the sun."
"This sounds very pleasant."
"And what else?" "There shall be no more crying nor sorrow in that place where we are going, for he who is owner of the place will wipe all tears from our eyes."
"And who else will be there?" asked Pliable.
"There we shall be with seraphim and cherubim, creatures that will dazzle your eyes.
There also you shall meet with thousands and ten thousands who have gone before us to that place. None of them are unkind, but are loving and holy. Everyone walks in the sight of God and stands in his presence with acceptance forever. There we shall see the elders with their golden crowns, the holy virgins with their golden harps, and the men and women who by the world were cut in pieces, burnt in flames, eaten by beasts, drowned in the seas, because of the love that they have for the Lord of that place. All of them will be well and clothed with immortality. Just hearing about this is enough to delight one's heart, said Pliable. But how shall we get to share in these things and enjoy them? The Lord, the governor of the country to which we are going, has recorded that in this book. The substance of it is that if we are truly willing to have all this, he will bestow it upon us freely. I am glad to hear these things, said Pliable. Let us hurry. Christian said, I cannot go as fast as I would like because of this burden on my back. Now, I saw in my dream that just as they had finished this conversation, they came to a very miry swamp that was in the middle of the plain, and because they were not paying attention to where they were walking, they both fell into a bog called the Swamp of Despond. Here they floundered for a time, covered with mud, and Christian, because of the burden on his back, began to sink in the mire.
Ah, neighbor Christian, where are you now?
Truly, I do not know.
At that, Pliable began to be displeased and angrily said to Christian, Is this the happiness you've been telling me about all this time? If we're having this much trouble at the start, what can we expect between here and our journey's end? If I get out of this place alive, you can go on without me.
And with that, Pliable gave a desperate struggle or two, and got himself out of the mire on the side of the swamp that was nearest to his own house. And Christian saw him no more.